Thank you, Mark, for reading this morning, and thanks to the choir and tapestry for that beautiful music. What a lovely way to worship. Okay, I'm checking my watch. We're about halfway through the worship service now, and I'm guessing that today's theme is abundantly clear. This is a morning when we're talking about love, but we're not just talking about any kind of love. We're talking about the love that we receive from God, and that is the love that provides us with the fuel we need for our whole lives, for our thoughts and our prayers and our interactions with others, for our social media posts, for our hopes and dreams, our jobs, our relationships, and our deepest yearnings. Love is a word that we throw around a lot, don't we? We say, I love that new restaurant down on Canal Park, or I love those new shoes, or I love John Grisham's most recent book, right? But these verses from the Gospel of John and the letters from John speak more deeply of love. Love is what distinguishes us as Christians. Indeed, it is our love for God and our love for one another that is at the very heart of the gospel. And yet, when we try to put this love into action, well, easier said than done sometimes, right? Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we come to be your people this morning, we admit that we have something to learn about love. Our hearts and our lives are not always loving. We can be petty, and we can be judgmental. We sometimes deny the humanity of others when we see things differently from one another, and yet we know that your commandment to love as you have loved is how you would have us to live. So this morning, give us hearts to hear and spirits willing to be challenged. And above all, inspire us to live and love as your people on this day. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. So we start this morning with a story. This is a story about a church that is preparing to welcome a new pastor. And in this, it's not a Methodist church, because in this story there's a call committee. And a call committee is a group of lay people who gather together and are empowered by the congregation to hire a new minister. We don't do it that way in the United Methodist tradition, but for the purposes of our story this morning, we'll talk about a call committee. So this call committee had done their work. They had reviewed the pastor's job description, and they had collected applications and resumes, and they'd researched all of the candidates. And they had interviewed everyone, and they had prayed about their process, and they'd listened to these candidate minister preach, and ultimately they hired a new minister. And everyone was excited. And on this pastor's first Sunday, she preached a rousing sermon using the text that we have just heard from the Gospel of John. A new commandment I give to you, says Jesus, to love one another as I have loved you. This is how the world knows that you are my disciples, because of the love you have for one another. And the congregation enthusiastically received this message and received their new pastor, and the call committee kind of high-fived each other on the way out the door. Their work had been accomplished, and everybody was happy. So on the following Sunday, the new pastor read the text for the day. And lo and behold, it was the very same text as the previous week. She read, "A new commandment I give to you, says Jesus, love one another as I have loved you. This is the way that everyone knows that you are my disciples, because you have love for one another." And the congregation was kind of looking at each other a little and maybe elbowing each other a little. But they decided they'd give the new pastor the benefit of the doubt, and they kind of settled back in their seats, and they were ready to hear maybe chapter 2 on this message, or some new insights about this passage. And they figured, you know, they could do this. But to their surprise, the pastor preached the exact same sermon as she had preached the previous Sunday. Well, yeah, great, right? Out of courtesy, though, the congregation sat back and listened politely, and when the service was over, they left, a little puzzled, but nonetheless ready to go out into the world for their week. So now we're at week 3, and everyone's on pins and needles to see what's going to happen, and the tension was thick as the sermon began, and the new pastor read the text. You see where this is going, right? What did she read? "A new commandment I give to you," says Jesus. "Love one another as I have loved you, because this is how the world knows that you are my disciples, when you have love for one another." And she started into the very same sermon and had kind of gotten a little far into the introduction, and some brave soul in the congregation raised their hand and said, "Reverend, what is going on? This is the third Sunday in a row we've heard this same message. What's going on? What gives?" And the pastor looked at the congregation intently, and she said, "Well, nothing gives, really. But when we get really good at loving each other like Jesus loved, then I'll preach a different sermon." Okay, so I'm not advocating 3 identical sermons in a row. Janine, I'm looking at you here. But the fact is, this is a message that we could hear frequently, isn't it? We're going to start this morning by taking a closer look at this morning's scriptures, and we're going to have another slide that has the John 13 text. And we're going to read it together, but as we're reading it, I want you to count the number of times these 2 verses include the word love. Ready? Here we go. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you also must love one another. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love one another." So we have 4 instances of love in 2 verses. Let's go to the next slide and the next scripture. This is from 1 John chapter 4. I'm tempted to sing this. This is an old camp song. "Beloved, let us love one another." But for the purposes of this morning, we'll say it together, shall we? But count love, okay? Count love. "Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love." So 5 this time around. 4 in the first 2 verses, 5 in the second 2 verses. 9 times these scripture verses talk about love. 4 verses, 9 instances of love. We do not have any doubt that John was very serious about this concept, that we really have to love one another. In the Greek language of the New Testament, the word for love in this passage is agape, or some Greek scholars will say it, agape. This is a verb that means to love dearly, with goodwill, with benevolence, with tenderness and strength both, and to love with welcome. This is the love that Jesus commands us to embrace. He doesn't suggest that we embrace this. Did you notice? It was a commandment, not a suggestion, but a commandment. This is the kind of love that we are, as followers of Christ, are trying to live in our day-to-day lives. So much so, these authors of both the Gospels and the letters and the rest of the New Testament, we see the Greek word agape over 100 times in the New Testament, and sometimes in over 100 verses, And sometimes we see it several times in the same verse, as our scriptures from this morning have shown us. So God's love, God's agape, is the overarching theme for the life of Christ and the overarching theme for the entire New Testament. There's another scripture passage that's very familiar to many of us from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, from 1 Corinthians 13. We often hear this passage in the context of a wedding ceremony, but here's where it starts in verse 4. Paul says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice with wrongdoing, but love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Don't you love that part? Faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these, says Paul, is love. The interesting thing about this passage is that although we hear it most often at a wedding, Paul's original audience for this letter was to a church that was in conflict, deep conflict. This was an early church community that was struggling to deal with factions. And the factions were jockeying for position and control. The community was marginalizing their congregation's most disadvantaged members. And it was a community that was fractious and filled with infighting. I don't know about you, but that feels to me a little like it's hitting a little close to home. Paul begs this church to overcome their differences and live according to the law of love. This is love that calls for unity and a willingness to go beyond differences. And this is where the easier said than done part comes in, because it takes work to love with the agape, the love of God. Although love has a cultural reputation for being a flowery and romantic emotion that appears without effort and it magically heals all of our wounds, well, we have to remember that love is actually a decision. A decision that we make every day, and if we want to experience healthy and whole relationships, we make this decision over and over and over again. God's love, this agape, is not a romantic emotion that shows up spontaneously and spreads champagne bubbles and confetti and magically makes everything right. We have to dig deep to find it. God's love, that agape love that is described in these passages, is not cheap or painless. It is instead gritty and costly. We do have to dig deep to find this kind of love, love that is rooted in the Spirit of God and shows forth in our actions, sometimes actions that we take in spite of how we feel. The loving actions and decisions that we make every day bring us into fullness of relationship with God and with one another. So this kind of love is hard enough to practice in our own lives, in our own daily walking around, going to work, getting groceries, paying bills, trying to keep our heads above water lives. But what about in our shared communal life? We are surrounded by division, are we not? We are experiencing polarization as a country. We are experiencing polarization in our very own denomination. There are people with whom we agree, and there are people with whom we sometimes vehemently disagree. So how do we live that agape, that love, in a world that is filled with fractiousness? The texts that we read this morning speak powerfully of the initiative of God's love, and that God's love makes it possible to experience and express human love. For the writers of today's scripture, human love is always a byproduct, a fruit of God's love. If Jesus taught us anything, it is that love is more than that warm, fuzzy, cozy inner assurance of God's abiding presence. That's important. But God's love is more than that. God's love expresses itself in concrete ways, in acts of love that we take, even in Jesus' case, towards those who betray, towards those who deny, towards those who kill. The love that Jesus describes transcends our human ability to love. It's not an exchange, you do something nice for me, I'll do something nice for you. It's not that kind of reciprocal arrangement. The kind of love that Jesus modeled for us is that day in and day out, care, concern, commitment that goes beyond a self-serving agenda. Humanly speaking, we only have the capacity to love in this way when we are rooted and grounded in God's love for us and in God's love for the world. We can feel infatuation as humans. We can practice reciprocity. But as for love, genuine agape, God's love, well, that can only come from God. I learned in seminary that every sermon has to have a little bit of good news. So here is today's good news. When we are willing to place God at the center of our lives, we have access to this agape love. This is the love that fills our hearts and gives us grace to love one another, sometimes beyond our own understanding, and not just in part and for the moment, but fully and completely and intimately and for all time. This is the love that bears all things and believes all things. And so, contrary to what our culture would have us believe, the source of love is not within us. It is within the very being of God, and we have access to it because we are enfolded and embraced in this love of God. This is the kind of love that shows up in concrete ways. Love shows up by serving meals at the Damiano Center, even when their calendar is so full you're not sure if it's Tuesday or Thursday. Love shows up in concrete ways by driving someone to a medical appointment or to church when you'd rather stay home and listen to the radio. Love shows up in concrete ways by refusing to gossip, even when there's a juicy rumor that may or may not be true, but might be fun to discuss with someone. Love shows up in concrete ways by setting that aside and refusing to engage in that gossip. Love shows up in concrete ways by listening deeply to someone with a different political opinion than yours. And not only listening, but really working hard to understand, not to convince that they are wrong or to disagree or to start an argument, but true, deep, concerned listening. And love shows up in concrete ways when we work side by side and walk hand in hand and we honor the humanity of all, even when we do not agree. So this is the part of love, my friends, that is so hard. This is the part that's easier said than done. We say in this church that our mission is to bring hope and healing from the skyline. Bringing hope and healing requires concrete expressions of love, and our children are going to lead the way, are they not? We bring hope and healing to ourselves and to the world by tapping into God as the source of all love, knowing that we will do it imperfectly sometimes, but that we will persevere because of what Jesus teaches us. It is the love that we have for one another that truly marks us as God's very own and as disciples of Jesus. It is the love that we have, that we model, that we practice with one another, that shows the world what is possible. We can do it. We just can't do it alone. So as we move into a coming week and into a world that is bitterly divided, may we seek to know and be known by the powerful, welcoming, tough, and tender, benevolent love of God. May we recognize God as the source of a love that expands our hearts and makes it possible for us to express love for others in concrete ways. May the world know that we are Christians because of our love. Amen.